Welcome to Career Tools. This week, you got the job, now what, part two. The questions this cast answers are, what preparations should you be making after you get a new job? What can you do to start a new job well? And what research should you be doing ahead of a new job?
April 16th and 17th, I'm coming to Australia. Melbourne, you're up this year for an EMC and ECC in April. Again, the 16th and 17th. Come see us, learn how to be a good manager and communicator in Melbourne, or really, just in Australia. Meet me, get your questions answered. Come and see me April 16th and 17th at our EMC and ECC in Melbourne. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Last week, Sarah, we talked about not stopping and not waiting once you've been given the offer and accepted it. Like, we're not going to have a rest. We're going to do some things to help us hit the ground running, as the buzzword bingo call goes. We said, don't stop and don't wait and start relationships where you can. We're going to continue with find the information you need now, or the information that is important for you at this moment.
Exactly. And we talked about this a little bit in the previous part of this guidance about building relationships. The information you need now is different from the information you needed before you started working there. In the same way that the questions you ask people you knew who worked at the company before you started working there were different before than they are now that you actually work there. Or how you listen when you've accepted a task is different than if you haven't yet accepted it. What you want to know before you accept the role is different to you than what you need to know now that you have accepted the role. So you're going to have different questions, new questions, more in-depth and important questions about the actual work itself instead of high level about the organization.
Right. So we talked about a list of job essentials in the previous cast, and those are what your job is, what the deliverables are, when they're due, what the standards are, who the key people are, both on and off your team, how reporting is handled, how communication is handled. And there's a longer list, but those are the top, however many I just read. And all of those come in context.
Yeah.
And so in order to set goals and make plans, you need that list, but you also need the context. And some of the context comes from outside the company, and you can research that while you're still outside of the company, even if you don't have access to the network or access to the people on your team or anybody inside the company in this period before you've actually started. Some of the context you can still get that will help you be successful with all these things once you start.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And in our previous guidance, we talked about don't stop and don't wait. And one of the ways we do that is by ensuring we stay in contact with the hiring manager every 3 or so days. So in this period, we'd recommend you start with learning, researching, and thinking about any subjects your boss recommends. Now, these topics might have been explicitly mentioned or could have surfaced organically during the interview process. You could ask about them in one of those follow-ups. And while some suggestions might be clearly outlined as to-do list items, others just could have come up relatively subtly in conversation or be used as an example sometime in the interview. Now, certainly, you'll want to be reading up or learning about anything that was identified in the interview process as a weakness in your knowledge. Right? If there's any of those areas that they're like, we kind of wish you had more experience in X, you might want to get some experience in X.
For sure. And your job essentials list is probably building into the beginnings of a 30, 60, 90-day plan. And we have a cast for that. So you can go listen to that one and start building your 30 to 60, 90-day plan. And of course, once you start, your new boss and your team will have plans for you, and your plan will change the moment you start. But having no plan is a guarantee for failure. And having a plan gives you at least a direction and a purpose. And if you get there and nobody has a plan for you, at least you have a plan for you. It gives you your first step, and it gives you it positions you for early success in your new role. There's been plenty of times when I've recruited someone into a role and the boss has been on 2 weeks of vacation and nobody, you know, the number two doesn't know what to do with the new hire. And so they've just like sat them in a corner and said,
yep,
read some things.
Yeah, read some things.
Or there's a client thing and nobody can talk to the new hire because this client emergency is happening. Or the manager has gone on maternity leave unexpectedly and, you know, it happened earlier than expected. And so everything is up in the air and nobody knows what to do. So there are plenty of times when, even if it has been meticulously planned, plans come up in the air. So having a plan is a really good thing. And it's really easy for that first 90 days to just slip away. So having a plan ensures that they don't.
Exactly. So at this point in time, what we want you to do is read any documentation that you've been sent. Now, it's easy to ignore the paperwork from HR and other supporting departments, but we encourage you to ensure that you are reading these thoroughly in terms of building relationships with individuals and doing what is required in order to ensure you're as successful as possible. And we recently heard a story about a young lady with $500,000 in student loan debts. She had been paying $4,000 a month toward her loans. And given the fact that she browsed in a very cursory kind of way this HR paperwork, she was unaware that her company would match $2,000 payment to her $4,000 payment because she hadn't read all of this HR documentation. And by the time she realized her mistake, she'd been with the company for 2 years.
That's painful.
I know, right? It is boilerplate, folks, and it is at times dull, and it is not sexy, as we often say about management guidance, but that stuff will save you in the end.
Yeah.
So paying attention to reading all that paperwork may never be a revelation, but it may be. So read it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And who knew that kind of incentive was buried in any of that kind of paper? I've never heard of that incentive before. I suppose I probably run in the wrong circles, but when I saw that, I'd never heard of it before, and I wouldn't have even looked for it in the HR paperwork. So,
well, I'm sure, Wendy, I am certain that there are these kind of hidden bits of value that are within HR paperwork in every organization all the time. And I would suggest that even if you are slightly aware of these things, a reminder of them wouldn't be a bad idea. So here's my example. I, prior to Manager Tools, worked at a university. I worked at the University of Alberta. And my first 2 years at the university, I knew that one of the benefits was you could go back to university and essentially your classes would be paid for. And for the first 2 years of my employment, I didn't do anything with or about it because I had no intention of going back to school. But 2 years into the role, I was like, you know what? Maybe I will take some night classes. So I did. And I did it using that benefit, which was communicated to me multiple years earlier. But because I knew it, I could leverage it later on. Mm-hmm. It's that, right? It's knowing these things exist gives you the opportunity to leverage them in the future if you want.
Yes, absolutely. Please read the paperwork. We don't want to hear stories like that. That just
proves no, it's going to be dull, but it might be worth it.
Exactly.
If today's cast isn't resonating with you, you're probably not a high D. Maybe you're an I, an S, or a C. Every team needs a variety of professionals. A team of only Ds would just fight all the time and not get anything done. The MT DISC assessment starts with a 20-minute online questionnaire that costs just $30. Following today's cast, we'll continue on the topic of DISC and we'll cover all of the different styles. But before we do that, go to the Manager Tools website and find out what your profile is. Look for MT DISC under products, take the assessment, and find out your style now, so you're ready to take advantage when your style's guidance is released.
So our last point is prepare your home and family life. So what we want to do is set up your home and family life so that you can reduce the workload there during the first few weeks of your new job. because the first few weeks of any new job are exhausting, no matter who you are, how old you are, or how many jobs you've started. There is something about taking in that fire hose of names and acronyms and logins and locations and products and processes, all while trying to put your best foot forward for 9 hours a day, that just wipes you out.
Yeah. Well, even just the stress of meeting new people.
Yeah. I remember working with an intern who was like, he'd started on Monday at like 11 o'clock. It wasn't even early. And we got to Wednesday lunchtime and he said, I don't think I can work a full week. This is really tiring.
Right?
And I said, yes, the first week is always, it's always like this. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But it's true. The first week of any job, the first few weeks of any job is always tiring. And the bigger the job, the worse it is. And so doing some work to alleviate that is a good plan.
That's exactly it. Assume you will be exhausted. So in advance of starting the new role itself, make sure all the company paperwork is done, but also make sure that all of your at-home tasks are taken care of so you don't need to be worrying about them in the first few weeks of your new job. So that is, make sure that your car doesn't need the registration renewed in the next couple of weeks, or make sure your car doesn't need to be serviced in the next few weeks, a la take it now, or make sure your license doesn't need to be renewed. All of these adulting tasks that many of us take for granted, right? We don't really worry about in terms of our roles, especially when we work remotely. We think of them as being no problem to take care of during the workday. But when it's your first week or two in a new job, it's particularly egregious if you need to take some time out of the middle of the day to go renew the registration on your car when you kind of knew it was coming up all year because you knew that date the last time you renewed it a year ago. Things like, if you can, if you got upcoming doctor's or dentist appointments, move them. If you can, just push them out a few weeks later to buy yourself some time. So again, you don't have to leave for this appointment in midday in terms of these, I know we think of them as frivolous, hair appointments, nails appointments, those kinds of things. Do those in the evening or outside of work hours or on the weekend. Don't leave your desk in the first couple of weeks to do something like that. It won't be seen well by your new employer.
I just thought of another one as well. If you are taking a traveling job, make sure you have your medication refills sorted.
Dude, such a good one.
Right? Because I take a medication that's a shortage right now. And so you have to put in the prescription and then you have to wait because it might not come in. And I could see people having to leave for travel and not having it and it being a drama. So
That's exactly it. You just don't want it to be a drama.
Yeah. So for those of you, neither Sarah or I have children, so we're just imagining this. So if you have children and we're way off, just ignore this part. But for those of you with children, you could ensure that all of the kids' school's clothes are washed and sorted into day order and bagged together to make it easy to get ready on the mornings of your first week. Childcare arrangements we know can be difficult. Children get sick unexpectedly. Yes. So you might want to have a backup those first few weeks, because missing a day or more of your first week because a child is sick is not the end of the world from a hiring manager's point of view, but it can feel worse from the new hire's point of view.
You'll feel guilty for it, for sure.
So if you have a backup or if you can get a backup for those first few weeks, it'll probably make those few weeks feel easier for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just less stress for you during what is already a highly stressful period. I mean, it's as simple as getting groceries, making sure you have groceries or meals planned for the first couple of weeks so that you don't have to be worrying when you get home at 5 p.m. from your new job and you're completely exhausted. Oh no, I forgot about dinner. What are we going to eat tonight? Like all of those kinds of things. Doing as much in advance as possible will, again, it'll take the stress off. And you might also want to consider reducing extracurricular commitments and making other necessities easier. You could opt out of being in your book club or being the book club host for the first few weeks. You could tell your Toastmasters group, hey guys, I'm not going to be on next week's call because I'm starting a new job and I just know it's going to be stressful and I'm just going to sit next week out. And that will allow for the groups with whom you've made these commitments to plan around your absence in advance. Because the thing is, if you don't notice, you're not going to go to that meeting until 5 p.m. Because again, you're bagged from a really, really long day. Now you are putting other people out. So if you can get out ahead of that and give advance notice of not coming, just in case you're tired, it will allow for them to plan for your absence.
And if you're superhuman and you feel like going, you can still go.
Exactly. Surprise, I'm here.
If you're going to be working remotely and or you've been working remotely and you might want to clean up and reset your home office, clean out any of your old company paperwork, return and recycle any technology just so that you get a fresh start because you're going to be in the same space. When we used to work in an office, we used to go to a new office and it felt like a fresh start, but it would be nice to have a fresh start in a home office too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's also the travel time to get you to the new office. Now, we would assume, we would think that you would know the route to the company building for your first day, because generally you've likely gone there for one of your interviews. But even if that's true, even if you went to the office for an interview, therefore you know the route and the parking, your first day might involve different parking, or it might be a different building, or the place that you park for visitor parking is actually in a different parking lot than where you park as an employee, or you have to sign up because you need a badge to get into the employee parking, all of these kinds of things. So you want to know the route to the building and what that first day is going to look like from a parking perspective. Or if working remotely, you might need new logins. There might be connections to instant messaging channels like Slack, for example, that you're going to need to have hooked up on your machine to be effective. And knowing these kind of details and having an idea of what you have to do on that first morning will, again, make it less stressful. I can imagine, having done it before, starting as a new employee, fully remotely with a brand new organization and having absolutely zero idea of what to expect on the first morning would be incredibly stressful. Incredibly. It is so much easier to listen and learn when you're not panicking about where you're supposed to be next and when you're supposed to be there. And you actually have time to think through getting yourself to the point of being an active and beneficial member of the team when you're not super worried about all of these extra little details that you need to cover.
And we know that a new job adds extra pressure to your life temporarily. And so what we're saying is take some probably common sense steps to reduce the pressure in other parts of your life. And probably if you thought about it longer, if you could have come up with all of those steps too, but sometimes it helps for us to list them out and you wouldn't have thought of it because, I don't know, sometimes we don't think of the obvious. And a new job gives us the eustress that's spelled EU, which is the positive stress that gives us health benefits and energizes us and motivates us and makes us feel good. But we don't want to drown that out by the distress of worrying about car tax or who's going to look after a sick child.
Yeah, it's going to be stressful enough. You can assume it will be stressful. So take away all of the other stressors that you can possibly alleviate from your life to allow for you to be stressed in the right way about bringing yourself up to speed and being an active participatory member of the team, not all of these other details that completely slipped your mind and now it's a panic.
So the theme of this cast is don't wait. Often after receiving a job offer, people tend to focus on wrapping up their current responsibilities, thinking that the job transition will naturally follow. However, the key to a successful start in your new role is to actively take control of the process, take charge, be involved, and get ahead of the curve.
You know what I just thought of, Wendy?
Mm-hmm.
Something that I didn't think about, but I think could absolutely work for the people who are listening to this cast who like a little bit more structure. Do you think people could use the Manager Tools onboarding checklist and reverse engineer it?
Yes, they could.
Oh, Love that.
I will put it on the casts mentioned. I will make sure that it's on the podcast page for this cast. So if you go to the Managed Tools website, you search for You Got the Job, Now What? It will be on the page, the podcast page, and there'll be a link to the onboarding spreadsheet. And then you can see all the tasks that we tell managers to do.
Yeah.
You can do the opposite, or you can do it for yourself. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we can't assume that you're going to be hired by a manager tools manager as much as we wish that that were true. And the onboarding checklist is going to definitely be written from a manager onboarding an employee perspective. You're going to have to do some work with it to make it useful for your purposes. But at least it'll give you a place to start.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back with a new topic next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.